Chapter 10 Violet read the memo out loud to her siblings, and she didn't know whose reaction was more upsetting. As Sunny heard the bad news, she bit her lip in worry. Her tooth was so sharp that tiny drops of blood dribbled down her chin, and this was certainly upsetting. But Klaus didn't seem to hear the memo at all. He just stared into space, and this was worrisome as well. Violet put the memo back into the envelope, sat on the bottom bunk, and wondered what in the world she could do.
"Bad news," Phil said sympathetically. "Remember, sometimes something might seem like bad news, but it could turn out to be a blessing in disguise."
Violet tried to smile at Phil, but her smiling muscles just stayed put. She knew, or she thought she knew anyway, because she was actually wrong, that the only thing in disguise was Count Olaf. "We have to go see Sir," Violet said finally. "We have to explain to him what has happened."
"You're not supposed to see Sir without an appointment," Phil said.
"This is an emergency," Violet said. "Come on, Sunny, come on." She looked at her brother, who looked back at his older sister with wide, wide eyes. Violet remembered the accident he had caused, and all the previous Baudelaire guardians who had been destroyed. She could not imagine that Klaus would be capable of the sort of heinous murders that Count Olaf had committed. But she could not be sure. Not when he was hypnotized.
"Dinell,"
Sunny said. "Klaus simply cannot go," Violet decided. "Phil, will you please keep an eye on our brother while we go and visit Sir?"
"Of course," Phil said.
"A very close eye," she emphasized, leading Klaus to the Baudelaire bunk. He's not been himself lately, as I'm sure you've noticed. Please make sure he stays out of trouble."
"I will," Phil promised.
"Now, Klaus," Violet said, "please get some sleep, and I hope you'll feel better in the morning."
"Wub," Sunny said, which meant something along the lines of, "I hope so, too."
Klaus lay down on the bunk, and his sisters looked at his bare feet, which were filthy from walking around all day without any shoes on. "Good night, Violet," Klaus said. "Good night, Susan." "Her name is Sunny," Violet said. "I'm sorry," Klaus said. "I'm just so exhausted. Do you really think I will feel better in the morning?" "If we're lucky," Violet said. "Now, go to sleep." Klaus glanced at his older sister. "Yes, sir," he said quietly. He shut his eyes and immediately fell asleep. The eldest Baudelaire tucked the blanket around her brother and took a long, worried glance at him. Then she took Sunny's hand and, with a smile to Phil, walked back out of the dormitory and across the courtyard to the offices. Inside, the two Baudelaires walked past the mirror without even a glance at their reflections, and knocked on the door.
"Come in!"
The children recognized the booming voice of Sir and nervously opened the door to the office. Sir was sitting at an enormous desk made of dark, dark wood, still smoking a cigar so his face could not be seen behind the cloud of smoke. The desk was covered with papers and folders, and there was a nameplate that read, "The Boss," in letters made of chewed-up gum, just like the lumber mill sign outside. It was difficult to see the rest of the room, because there was only one tiny light in the room, which sat on Sir's desk. Next to Sir stood Charles, who gave the children a shy smile as they walked up to their guardian.
"Do you have an appointment?" Sir asked.
"No," Violet said, "but it's very important that I talk to you."
"I'll decide what's very important," Sir barked. "You see this nameplate? It says, The Boss, and that's who I am. It's very important when I say it's very important. Understand?"
"Yes, sir," Violet said, "but I think you'll agree with me when I explain what's been going on."
"I know what's been going on," Sir said. "I'm the boss. Of course I know. Didn't you get my memo about the accident?"